Where Nobody Knows Your Name is not filmed in front of a live studio audience. Hello, and welcome back to this Cheers podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Barry.
We're here today to discuss Season 10, Episode 18, some big numbers, License to Hill. It aired on February 13th, 1992. It was directed by James Burrows, and it's a Ken and Dave classic, Ken Levine and David Isaacs.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed this one.
It's a good one.
So how does it start, James?
Sam wants to talk to Woody about something that is bothering him. Woody quickly defends himself.
Yeah, Woody is hiding something, isn't he? And he tries to gaslight Sam, but Woody can't hold on to a lie. We know this from previous episodes, and the fact that he's held this one for so long must have really made him feel particularly awkward for a long time.
I can't work in this atmosphere, all this suspicion and this constant interrogation. What do you people want from me? I didn't do anything, all right? I'm telling you, I'm innocent. Okay. You remember 3 months ago, that day I called in sick?
Woody.
Sam, shut up. It's my turn to talk. I was sick, but a couple hours later, I started feeling better, and I could have come in for half a day, but instead, I stayed home and did laundry and watched Oprah because she had circus freaks on. I'm so ashamed. Oh, good. That feels better. I've been carrying that around for 3 months.
She's going to say you're tag sticking up on your sweater here.
Oh. I didn't forget I said anything. I was just kidding, you see? I was kidding you. I think I covered pretty well.
Oh, Woody. Poor Woody.
Can't catch a break, that boy.
No, but he seems happy at the end. He thinks he's got out of it, which is ridiculous, having just made his admission.
On to the main episode, I guess.
Mm.
John Alan Hill enters and thanks Carla for last night, specifically because she wasn't there.
Yeah, they've got a real sort of fiery, battling relationship, haven't they?
The fire runs deep. Mm. He then requests Sam and the rest of the Cheers chimps to hold down the noise for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, he's entertaining. Lots of elderly women. Daughters of the American Revolution.
Oh, so if they're very, yeah, I guess if they're very elderly, they could be daughters of soldiers who fought in the Civil War, just about, yeah.
Mm. 200 of them.
Well, not, they won't be of the Revolution, that was in the 1700s, but the American Civil War, they could theoretically be daughters of soldiers of the American Civil War. If there was a soldier in the Civil War who was very young, he could have had a daughter quite later in life. Yeah. Theoretically.
Well, I don't think this is a battle we need to question too much.
It works for the joke.
Yeah. And there is a lovely visual prank in this where John has pointed out that the vent between the bar and upstairs, you can hear conversations. Mm-hmm. So he wants them to be quiet in the bar. And Sam turns this on his head, shouts that there's a rat down the vent. And there's this lovely sort of visual gag where you see and hear the whole room shaking as these 200 elderly women charge in panic across the room.
Successful.
Should be got a bunch of dust in my beer here, Sam.
There's a rat in his kitchen. What is he going to do? It's a Specials reference thereby.
Lost on me, but thank you, James. I appreciate the effort.
Rat in my kitchen is the name of the song.
Ah.
Yeah. I thought you would have understood a Specials reference.
Well, I'm local.
Yeah.
But not that interested, I suppose.
I'm local, but I don't care.
And there's a follow-up line as this as well, where John reappears saying that he's now got to sort out ownership of 200 Zimmer frames.
Oh, bless him.
Which is great. So, yes, a good prank at the start. Cliff comes in prepared for the marathon poker sesh that they've organised.
Yeah.
Who's keen to join them, James?
I am.
Do you like a bit of poker, James?
I've played poker a few times in my life, not many times, less than 10. But I am going to enjoy it. I played poker with John once, one of our hosts, and he is a difficult one to play poker with because...
Or any game.
He has a level of chaos, doesn't he?
He's competitive without... He doesn't show it, but he's very competitive. I know he is. And he tends to be quite good at these things as well.
Yeah. I thought I was doing well, and then he just calmly took my money.
That's John. Yeah, he's your friendly mugger.
Give me your money, please.
Yeah, I've also played a number of times. I wouldn't say I've ever been good at it, but I've enjoyed it amongst friends. I'd never really play for any money. I think most we've ever done is put a fiver in each and then played for fun in the evening. Usually I leave the table about halfway.
Yeah, just go all in. Okay.
Yeah, I tend to lose interest. I'm a man who happily plays 9 holes of golf, but then is...
When are we going golfing?
Well, given that I've just said that I lose interest quite quickly.
I've not been golfing in years.
Yeah, I'll wait till... At the moment, I'll play football, but when my knee finally gives in, golfing might be an option.
It's a calmer game, isn't it?
Calmer, but I imagine it probably still requires a bit of knee when you swing, so it might be off the table for me as well.
Golfing, bit of knee required. But no, Fraser wants to join, to answer your question.
Yeah, Fraser and Woody, who has never played but used to play games back at home.
Yeah.
And so is looking for a chance to get involved. And the other guys see... They think that they can hustle him, I think. I think the suggestion is, oh, we'll get Woody in and we'll clean him out.
Naive farm boy doesn't know what will hit him.
Yeah. So Sam takes them all to go play poker and leaves Rebecca in charge of the bar, which she's keen to prove that she has the ability to do something. And no one seems to be able to say what it is Rebecca does in the bar.
I think it's Ken and Dave making a kind of meta joke here where there are 10 seasons in, we don't really know what her job is.
Yeah.
I also like that Fraser goes, yeah, I could join. I just have to check with the old ball and crane. And Lilith goes, I don't care. And he's trying to, you know, show himself as the tough guy.
Yeah, he doesn't need to listen to her. And in fact, she's not bothered. But eventually she agrees to play ball and allows him to ignore her pleas to not play.
Say, you guys got room for one more?
Yeah, okay, it's all right with us, but I got to warn you, we're going to be playing into the wee smalls. You might want to check with the old ball and crane.
I don't have to ask Lilith if I can play. I'm an independent person. I can make my own decisions.
It's all right with me, Fraser.
I wasn't asking.
Regardless, I still approve.
Well, approve all you want to. I don't care. I'm going to play poker, stay out late.
Stay out all night if you like. You have my permission.
Stop it.
Very well, Fraser. Please stay home with your wife and child. We need you.
Forget it, woman. Gotta be me. Let's party, boy.
Often you just need to notify your partner. Most things.
Yeah. So, yes, around the poker table, Woody says he actually does know how to play. It was the best player in the Hanover region.
I've been hustled like that too.
Have you?
Yes. Back in uni, where I was but a naive teen guy in my first student housing, and I went to a shared house, and the students there were mature students' age. They were 30-ish. So they're like, we'll play poker. And then one of them was like, oh, I've never played. How do we play? And then we played, and she cleaned up and she went, oh, yeah, my uncle taught me since I was 5. I was the opposite of Woody in this situation. I was a naive young boy who just thought I could make friends and instead lost money.
Oh, dear. I was brought in as the solver of that situation. There was a lad at uni who had a friend come to visit him from home, and this person was particularly arrogant, was beating everyone at this computer game. It's a sports computer game from years ago, and was not being very humble about the whole thing and was beating everyone. And they were particularly annoyed with him. And so I got a tap on my window at about 4 a.m. I was asleep, obviously, and I had to sort of, I got dragged out of bed in my pajamas because I was the only person they thought who might be able to beat him. So there's me in my pajamas, exhausted, pulled in front of this PlayStation screen. And I proudly say I did beat him. And not just beat him, I humiliated him. I thrashed him with the Republic of Ireland against his Brazil.
Oof.
And then went back to sleep. So, yes. They always get their comeuppance, James. Never be arrogant.
That sounded like I was being scolded.
Oh, no, you were hustled. You weren't the arrogant one in your story. But
yeah.
But anyway, in this story, Woody is very confident, isn't he? He knows that he can probably clean up here.
Yeah. Rebecca is carrying around her cigar box full of receipts because that's apparently all she does for her job. But the boys smoke bad cigars in the pool room, and it does specify that they are bad cigars. Sam puts up a blanket to keep the smoke away from the customers, and Woody admits proudly, arrogantly perhaps, that he knows how to play poker. And then he uses some fighting talk to take the money from all the city boys.
Yeah.
What sort of game would you like to play, huh?
Well, how about five blind piglets and one full teat?
What kind of game is that?
That's where five city boys lose all their money.
And meanwhile, back in the bar, Rebecca discovers a letter. I think Carla hands it to her.
Yeah.
That has been returned due to lack of postage.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the liquor license renewal.
Oh dear.
It seems that they no longer have a liquor license. She can renew it in the morning, but for the evening, they are in trouble.
And I'll tell you, this is a nice little detail. Do you know who witnessed this kerfuffle? Who's in the background of this scene? Uncredited, but definitely there.
Oh. No.
You might recognize the name. You'll certainly recognize their work. Kevin Sorbo. Do you recognize this?
I do recognize the name.
He was in Legendary Adventures of Hercules in the 90s.
Oh, yes. I recognize the face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a terrible show.
My favorite bit of it is when he goes, "This is not my world." Disappointed! because disappointed was meant to be a stage direction.
Did they leave it in?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh, brilliant.
I do love some of these classic, very B-movie tropes, similar in Magnum P.I., where Tom Selleck's wandering around trying to solve some case. He walks past a convent and some nuns on a ladder, you know, trying to fix a window or you know, dusting a window or something. He's looking and going, "Don't know where this person is." And he goes, "Hang on, nuns don't work on Sundays." And then the nun jumps off a ladder and shoots at him.
Silly. That's deduction for you.
I love just, yeah, some of these cheesy B-movie stuff from the 80s.
Yeah. That reminded me very much of anything, really, that Matt Berry has done.
Yes.
He's the sort who would shout an emotion. particularly enjoy his vampire Laszlo in What We Do in the Shadows, where he shouts bat whenever he changes into a bat.
Yes, he's a very good comedic actor. He uses his voice very well.
Mm.
And I'm not sure what one would call it, but to me, it's the similar thing. What mime is to physicality, he does with his voice.
Mm.
You know, if that makes sense. Exaggerates for comedic effect.
Yeah, almost to the point of absurdity.
Yes.
The way he can hold a line, yeah. A word.
Don't bother me now, I'm doing a piece to camera.
Oh, dear. And just changing the inflection, we were love making, something like that just instantly makes it funny.
We're having an iPod party.
Yes, so thank you for informing us of the voyeur in that scene, James. Was he there for a reason?
Pint.
is that the thing that, did people do this in Cheers? Did people manage to sneak into the background?
Well, fun fact, related to this episode actually, and we'll get on to it. They were working taps at Cheers, in the Cheers bar. So sometimes people would just go, would just drink on the set.
Oh.
Yeah.
And as extras? Or just sneak in, or?
I know that sometimes the cast would, you know, drink on set. Maybe they invited friends. I can imagine George Went and Kevin Sorbo being friends.
Yeah, I can see that. Very nice. Lovely.
So maybe that's why he's there. He just goes, so let me get this straight. I show up. I don't need to do anything, but you serve me beer. It was near beer. Like 0.4, 0.5%, you know.
Yeah.
Which they had on in the kegs. And Norm's pint, they put salt or something in to keep the head afloat under the heat of the studio lights.
Doesn't sound very nice.
But what was being served was drinkable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in this episode, that would almost do.
Yeah. Here we go, actually. Because of the expired liquor license, Rebecca and Carla serve non-alcoholic beer to the guys while they play poker in the back room. For the rest of the series, non-alcoholic beer was served in place of real beer on the set.
Yeah. Initially, Rebecca tries to get around the license by giving it away for free, but quickly loses a lot of money. So when they serve non-alcoholic drinks, there's a nice scene with Lilith doing some acting.
Acting?
To pretend that, to try and get... reassure everyone that there is alcohol in these drinks. And it's a lovely little bit of exaggeration by Lilith.
This is very interesting, Rebecca. Allow me to help in your little charade. I'd like a scotch, please. I've done some acting in my time. Thank you.
I do that with whiskey, though. It's like, I'm partial to a bourbon, but sometimes whiskey is a difficult drink.
Mm.
Aquavits are harder, the Scandinavian aperitifs. Yeah, my dad used to get a few of them from Norway, and after the puppy dinner, he'd come back with a friend of his. I think he was doing this on purpose. He'd go, would you care for an aquavit? like it was, you know, a whiskey at the end of the night. And then they'd try it and they both, and his friend went, this tastes like lighter fluid. And my dad went, And I think he was trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, we had a similar thing in our house. My dad had, I wouldn't call it a spirits cupboard. It was probably only two or three bottles in there. But one of them was a blank clay brown bottle that just said fire water on it. And my dad's instruction to us was, don't touch the fire water. But secretly, I knew that he didn't mind if we touched the fire water because we weren't going to drink any of it. One taste was enough for us to sort of instantly never go back near it.
Yeah. You ever had absinthe?
Oh, yeah. I had a... This is a silly story, but a friend of mine bought himself two double absinths and Red Bull.
Why?
Well, because he's like that at a bar. And didn't like them. So he offered me a drink if I would drink his drinks for him. which is very strange. But I woke up the next morning with a pain in my back, which turned out to be my friend's door being opened into me. And I was lying on the floor in the sort of entranceway to his room. Yeah, that's absinthe. I guess that's a standard absinthe effect.
I had absinthe on my 18th birthday. I felt fine the next day. Like, I wasn't too hungover, but it didn't taste very nice.
No. I seem to remember being all right, but we went through a phase of having it. And then everyone who'd ever been traveling would tell you, it's not the real stuff.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It's not the real stuff. It's supposed to be hallucinogenic.
Oh, many things can be hallucinogenic.
Yeah, you leave a potato for long enough, it's probably hallucinogenic.
You know, why drink absinthe when you can lick a toad?
Exactly.
But you're right. Yeah. Rebecca starts to panic. So she calls the liquor board to tell them of her mistake, to get ahead of it, I guess, to get ahead of any accusations from them. She's getting ahead of it and go, look, this did happen, but I do want to renew it.
Yes. So that's good. That's responsible. And Carla initially threatens to tell Sam, and Paul overhears this and sees a chance to blackmail Rebecca.
Yeah.
But a bit creepy. Essentially saying, if you sleep with me, I won't tell him. This gets pulled down into a date, doesn't it? Which Rebecca agrees to date, go on a date with him if he doesn't tell.
I think good deal. Because what's the date? Go dinner, go home. Like she, you know.
Well, yeah, you'd hope so. It depends what constitutes a date for Paul.
Mm.
And later on we do hear that he goes full creepy instantly. So yes, so Sam doesn't find out at this point. And goes back to his poker game, where Woody is cleaning up. Cliff is slowly getting drunk on the non-alcoholic beer that they're being served. And they discover, and this is never followed up on, but they discover that a card is missing and they find it under Sam's chair.
Mm.
But there's never any insinuation that anyone is cheating. Perhaps we're supposed to assume that Woody might be playing them, but the card is under Sam's chair and this goes no further. So it's a bit of an odd thing, really.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of a weird thing. They do redo the hand, which I guess is the noble thing to do, but the chips that Woody won as of the last hand, he doesn't give back.
No, all very strange.
He's like the banker in Monopoly.
Yeah.
When Woody played the banker in Monopoly.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
But it's almost like Chekhov's gun was loaded but never fired.
I've used that metaphor.
But anyway, a small aside.
Did someone just throw the gun instead?
Maybe, yeah. So Cliff, yeah, is becoming rowdy, getting drunk somehow, a psychological drunk. Back in the bar, Paul apologises to Rebecca for trying to blackmail her, says he's just been very lonely since his wife left him. But Rebecca agrees that they can still go on a date. And I can't remember the words Paul says, but they're very creepy.
You know, Rebecca, you've been through a lot tonight. I was thinking maybe I took advantage of you when I asked you out. Well, ever since my wife left me, I've been sort of desperate for female companionship, you know. I always say the wrong thing. So what it boils down to is this. If you'd rather not go out with me, I'd understand.
That's sweet, Paul. I'd be delighted to go out with you tonight.
Bring your toothbrush.
Coincidentally, Woody hustles the cheer gang in this episode. Also, in 1992, Woody Harrelson played a basketball hustler in which film?
White Men Can't Jump.
Exactly. Yes. When Troy was hosting a quiz and he asked, what's the only animal that can't jump? And I said, white men. Apparently that was not deserving of a point. So, well, yeah, the answer was apparently the elephant. I thought white men was also an acceptable answer, but... Perhaps not appropriate in a social setting.
Well, I would have given you half a point for that, James.
Thank you. They do find, as you say, they find the card under Sam's chair. They have to replay the hand. Fraser is irritated at Phil's slow dealing. And I get it. Because when I play card games with my dad, I have enough time to go and make a cup of tea while he's dealing for five of us, you know.
Yeah, that's it's the non-event, isn't it? You just want to find out what you got and get on with it. So we get a surprise visit. Actually, before I go on to that, how does the poker scene finish? I don't remember.
Well, Fraser mentions he and Lilith are taking a flight to Nantucket the following day. So he wants Phil to hurry along. This is interesting because this event was shown on Wings in the crossover episode, Planes, Trains and Visiting Cranes, which aired the same night. And if you want to listen to our discussion of that episode, you'll find it on Patreon. So subscribe and listen to our review on the bonus episode.
Which is a cracker.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. We had fun.
So that's interesting. Nice that they've set it up in this episode.
Woody goes all in with three aces and everyone falls except Cliff, who thinks he's won with five unmatched cards.
Yeah, that drink's really getting to him.
Yeah, And then he tries to collect his winnings and capsizes the table.
End of poker.
That could well happen at mine, to be honest. You've seen my tables. They're little coffee tables. You could capsize them easily.
Yeah. And I've seen you drink. I'm like making no comment on it, but I'm sure you'd be capable of capsizing a table.
I sort of want to try now. I don't take offense to that. I take it as simply I'm heavy enough to capsize a small foldable coffee table. And you know what? It's true.
It is true. So we return to the bar and we have some visitors. Who's come to say hello, James?
The people who've arrived are the liquor board people.
Yeah, they're just being efficient, I guess. They've heard about this thing and come immediately to check it out. Although there is I know that Rebecca called them, but there is the way that John is talking when he comes down, because he heard the whole thing through the vents upstairs, mm-hmm. almost suggests that he called them in.
Yes, well, yes. It's a weird thing that he was ratting on them, whereas Rebecca was calling to renew them, the license, and it's a whole thing.
Mm.
But she does say, no, I haven't done anything wrong. You can smell as whatever glass you like. They are alcohol free.
Yeah, she has successfully saved the bar in some senses. And Sam is very angry about this. And proceeds to be quite mean to Rebecca, actually. But I think that's written so that the turnaround is suitably humbling.
All I can think of was, you booze, you lose, Rebecca. no, he lashes out at her, doesn't he?
He does.
You see? I saved the day.
You saved the day? You wouldn't have had to save the day if you hadn't have screwed it up in the first place. Come on, what were you thinking? How could you do that? How could you forget something like that? You know, that could have cost me my bar. I mean, what do you got, rocks in your head?
You know, I mean, I did mail the thing in. It's just that it came back. I think there was just something wrong with the stamp.
There's nothing wrong with this stamp, you moron. It's for 25 cents. I put it on myself.
So it was Sam who, well, underpaid his stamps.
Which, you know, is nice because if Cliff was there, he'd know what to do.
He would. Loves his stamps, Cliff does.
Oh, stamps are too expensive these days. I bought a new stamp recently with Charlie's face on it, and I was like, what? More than a pound?
Oh, incredible, isn't it? Because what's the inflation on that? 400% in 20 years?
I'm just tempted to start paying for things with stamps. Yeah, because legal tender, apparently, if it's got the monarch's face on it, apparently it's legal tender. So this is £1.12.
Do stamps go out of date? Because they're the best investment in the world at this rate.
It's a good question. I imagine they only go out of date once that monarch dies. Or they can be worth more. You know, like how farthings or other old coins are worth more than... Well, a halfpenny is worth more than half a penny now, isn't it? Because it's of the rarity.
Yeah. Well, I used to have a stamp collection. Not that I was particularly interested in it, but we inherited it off a relative. I think we had a penny red, I think, which was one of the rarer. I think the penny black was the sought after. And various other ones. But nothing. Like there's that famous one of an airplane that's upside down in a misprint that's worth a lot of money. But yeah, I don't know where they went. My dad's probably got them squirreled away somewhere.
I know what the issue there was, Barry. It's that philately will get you nowhere. Hey.
Hey. Very good.
Oh, set me right up and out the park. Right. Do you want to hear about all the people who appeared in this episode? There's many a customer.
Yes, let's have a look.
We've got Keen Curtis as John Allen Hill, Paul Wilson as Paul Crapence, Philip Pullman as Phil. Good, we know those ones. Here is the new people. Stephen Rao as Agent Number One. He also appeared in As the World Turns, Hunter, L.A. Law, Basic Instinct, Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, Beverly Hills 90210, Sex, Love, and Cold Hard Cash, Heart to Heart Returns, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, Wings, ER, Bless This House, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, Law and Order, Criminal Intent, The Pink Panther, Law and Order, Billions, The Blacklist, Elementary, Daredevil, Blue Bloods, and many more. Frank Schuller as Agent Number 2. This was his final film and TV role. He also appeared in Flipper, Mod Squad, The Jackie Gleason Show, Crash, Caddyshack, Seven Brides for the Seven Brothers, Hill Street Blues, Three's Company, The New Mike Hammer, Who Was the Boss, St. Elsewhere, Dynasty, LA Law, Hooper Man, and many more. Lenny Citrano as Customer Number 1. He also appeared in To Roam With Love, Baywatch, Rest in Peace, Mrs. Columbo, Murder, She Wrote, In Living Color, Matlock, Who Was the Boss, Blood Fist 4, Die Trying, Babylon 5, Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles, The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, ER, iCarly, Red Dead Redemption, Mafia 2, Castle, Lie to Me, Justified, Swedish Dicks, and many more.
I'm sorry.
Detectives. Detectives. I thought it was a funny title, so I put it in the list. Peter Stormare is in that. It's a funny title nonetheless. Nancy Stevens as Customer Number 2. She also appeared in Mod Squad, Days of Our Lives, All in the Family, Charlie's Angels, Barnaby Jones, The Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew Mysteries, Chips, Halloween, Flamingo Road, Escape from New York, Halloween 2, Picket Fences, Beverly Hills 90210, Dark Skies, Halloween H20, Animobile, Boston Legal, Halloween Kills, and many more. Robert Gossett as Customer Number 3. He also appeared in The Cosby Show, Heartbeat, Quantum Leap, LA Law, Man of the People, Batman Returns, Nurses, White Man's Burden, Diagnosis Murder, Touched by an Angel, Beverly Hills 90210, Sister Sister, Charmed, Dragnet, NYPD Blue, Bones, ER, The Closer, Major Crimes, The Young and the Restless, General Hospital, and many more. Ralph P. Martin as Customer Number 4. He also appeared in Matlock, Dragnet, Who's the Boss, Wings, Northern Exposure, Married with Children, Picket Fences, Diagnosis, Murder, Ellen, Time Cop, NYPD Blue, The Jamie Foxx Show, That's My Bush, Anna McBeal, Gilmore Girls, ER, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, Badass, Everybody Hates Chris, Ugly Betty, Veronica Mars, Evan Almighty, Pushing Daisies, Hail Caesar, and many more.
Oh, I think I'm genuinely older now.
Just because of the sheer amount of cast there are.
Thank you for that, James.
It's all right. I've done nothing for you.
So, yes, our episode is essentially over. It ends with Rebecca feeling vindicated, I suppose, but then still showing she has no idea how the bar works when she slams down the bar, what would you call that, hatch, thus releasing a number of lighting fixtures down on the bar.
And this was a recurring gag through the old episode with Rebecca keeping the bar hatch down so there's more surface, but then Carla trying to get it behind the bar and just flipping drinks. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lovely physical bit of humour earlier where Lilith and Rebecca do a little bit of a physical gag with the hatch where they manage to belt each other a couple of times with it.
I do like a bar hatch gag.
Yeah. In Britain, the famous example is the Only Fools and Horses bar lean. Someone trying to look sophisticated leans on a bar that is no longer there because the hatch has been lifted.
Yeah. Play it cool, Trig, play it cool.
That's a great scene.
Nah, you're cramping my style. Oh, it is a great scene. Yeah.
So, James, I think I heard the doorbell.
Hello, Cliff. How are you feeling? Yes, you're a good friend too. Can I have the letters, please? We'll play poker later. Yeah, I'm sure you will win. Okay.
Get yourself to bed, Cliff.
We'll give him a black coffee. But as usual, before we open our letters, we have to give a shout out to our norms on Patreon. So this goes out to Treb Curry. If you want that special norm treatment, then check out our Patreon page for that and so much more.
What is Carla's nickname for John at the start of the episode?
Something to do with bold.
Yeah, that's an element of it.
Oh, I remember. John Cougar Melonhead.
That's it, yeah.
It's good. I like that one. Little bit of a history question for you there, Barry. How many years did Prohibition last in the US?
No, you cheat. This wasn't in the episode. Let's say 24.
It's wrong. I can give you a clue. It's pretty close to how long the Beatles were a band for.
Which is a surprisingly short amount of time.
Yeah, exactly.
7 years?
Oh, no. You've had two guesses, so I'm going to have to tell you now. 13
years. 13, yeah.
The Beatles were banned for 14 years, 58 to 72.
Yes.
Yeah. So very close to how long Prohibition lasted for. 1920 to 1933.
Yeah. And just as everyone got a drink in their hand, a war started.
Yeah, but like 6 years later, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And a bit longer for the Americans.
Yeah, true.
Woody, back home in Hanover, won three prizes during his poker days. What were they?
A pig?
No.
Huh. It's a good question. It's not livestock of any kind, is it?
It is.
Huh. If not a pig, a cow?
No. Shall I put you out of your
story? I can't remember what it is. Yeah.
It's chicken in a box, one-eyed rooster, and a possum on a pole.
Interesting. What poker chips did Norm want Cliff to bring?
Norm wanted food chips rather than the poker chips.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't tell you which ones. Kettle chips?
No, I'm looking for flavours.
Barbecue?
No.
No, you'll have to put me out of my misery.
Ranch, mesquite, and sour cream.
What was the middle one?
Mesquite.
What on earth is that?
Mesquite. It's just a fun word to say, isn't it? Mesquite is a plant. There you go. Often used to season meat, vegetables, and other foods before barbecuing. So probably barbecue. Could
mesquite. Be close.
Mesquite.
Does it have a alternative name? You know, like cilantro.
Prosopis glandulosa. So no.
In the poker game, what is the joke game that Woody suggests that they play?
Oh, I remember the punchline is, it's the name that he's given to him, Rumbling City Boys. It's five blind piglets and one full teat.
Excellent. That's the answer.
It's got away with words.
Mm.
What is Rebecca's replacement for a strawberry daiquiri?
Oh, it's something on ice.
Yes.
It's a soft drink, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
It's Kool-Aid on crushed ice.
Kool-Aid, that's it. Not a drink we have over here. One more question for you, James.
Yeah?
You mentioned Woody's winning hand earlier before the game is destroyed by Cliff's drunkenness.
Mm-hmm.
What was Woody's first winning hand in the game?
I think it was two pair.
It wasn't two pair. Initially, it was two pair, which wasn't enough to win.
Full house, then.
A full house. Do you know what it was? What?
Aces and threes?
Eights and threes.
Oh.
I think it was two eights and three threes.
They're playing a version of poker I'm not familiar with, where they all have cards in their hand. There's no flop or river on the table. There's no hold'em.
Oh, well, that's I'm used to Texas hold'em.
Yeah, me too. Where there's five cards on the table and each person has two in their hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, not really entirely sure of the version they're playing, but I'd like to know.
Yeah.
I've got one more letter here. It's from our friends at Zencaster. There might not be alcohol for this episode, but you know what there still is? A party. And if you want a party, go on over to Zencaster. You know, you can use it to record podcasts on whatever subject you like. And we've had a great time using it for the past few years. So head over to zencaster.com/pricing and use code NORM for 30% off your first month of any Zencaster paid plan.
What was that code again?
NORM. NORM.
NORM.
NORM. To get 30% off your first month of any Zencaster paid plan. We recommend Zencaster because it's got great sound quality. It's an all-in-one user interface. User friendliness, and it's got its own inbuilt audio processing, which speeds things up for us on the editing side. So yeah, can't recommend it enough.
What shall we be drinking this episode? And I realise that our choices have been limited somewhat by the licence issue.
That's a good question. What are, is there a favourite non-alcoholic cocktail you have?
To be honest, I really like an elderflower pressé.
Ooh, fancy.
I've really become partial to an elderflower drink in the last few years, and they've become a bit trendy as well.
It's refreshing, isn't it?
It's lovely. If I'm not drinking, then a non-alcoholic drink, or rather drink that is a non-alcoholic equivalent of a non, of an alcoholic drink, doesn't really interest me. I'd much rather have a refreshing drink.
Yeah. I like a ginger beer, like an old Jamaica, which is non-alcoholic. I was drinking a can at work today. I was wondering, is that ginger beer? And I went, yeah. And they went, doesn't that have alcohol? And I went, no, but it can.
Yeah, it's a lovely drink.
Anything by Bar, the soda people, quite nice. A cream soda I'm partial to.
Another sponsorship.
How about a fruit cocktail?
Okay, a bit lumpy. We could just put ourselves out of misery and drink the Kool-Aid.
Oh dear, that's not how I want to end the episode. Well, since it's March, why not Margarita March, but a non-alcoholic version? You can have a non-alcoholic spicy margarita.